Previously in our study of the book of Romans, we looked at the first 11 verses of chapter 5. We looked at it under the heading of the results of justification. Verse number 1 of the chapter says, "Therefore, being justified by faith," and I want to repeat again that this explains to us what the subject of the previous chapters was. It was that justification, being declared righteous by God, is a result of faith. And so once we place our faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, God declares us righteous, and by virtue of that, we also gain a lot more. We have peace with God, it explains here. We have hope, because before our faith in Christ, we were without hope. We had nothing really to look forward to past this life. But now that we're saved, those of us that are, we have hope. We have patience. We have the ability to endure whatever it is that comes our way. We are saved from the wrath of God,
Amen.
These verses explain to us. And we're also reconciled to God, or we're atoned, we're made at one with Him, because
Amen.
We were afar off. But because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and us applying it to our lives through the means of faith, we're made one.
Amen.
He buys us back unto Himself. But tonight I want to take a look at this subject, where sin abounded, grace did much more about it. Let's begin reading here in verse number 12. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receiveth abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." As we read through that, if some of it baffles or confuses you, be comforted in this. One Bible teacher, in reference to these passages, said it has been regarded, this text, as the most difficult part of the New Testament. And as it applies to the extent to which Adam's sin affected the human race, this is probably true. However, it is not my intention tonight to explore this particular subject. Rather, I want to take a look at two scriptural truths, the first being the abundance of sin, the second being the abundance
Amen.
Of grace. It says in the last part of verse number 20, "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." How far does sin abound? At the beginning of our text, verse number 12, it references Adam. And it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. As a result of one man, sin entered the world. That was the result of Adam's actions in the Garden of Eden. And there is a sense in which all of us were included in Adam's sin. You remember in the book of Genesis, or it even comments upon it in the book of Hebrews, how Abraham, when he gave tithes to Melchizedek, the entire Levite Levitical system, the priests of the tribe of Levi, were in a sense giving and tithing to Melchizedek themselves. And under the Old Testament law, they were the ones that accepted the tithe. They accepted the offerings. But yet, in a sense, through Abraham, they gave to Melchizedek, which illustrates the superiority of his priesthood. And Jesus, of course, is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, not after the Levitical system. And in the same sense, you and I took part in what Adam did, because he was a representative of the human race. And when he cast his vote to sin, it was just like our Congress casting votes for us. The implications fall on us all. Adam sinned, and sin brought forth death. And because all men sin, all men die. How far does sin abound? It extends as far back as nearly the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the way in which God created the heaven and the earth is given to us in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And then as we turn the page and begin the account of human history, we find one of the first acts is the sin of Adam and Eve. Sin extends as far back as the beginning, and it extends as far forward as the end. In Revelation chapter 19, in verse 19, it says, "And I saw the beast," the Antichrist, "and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse." That was the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the last book of the Bible, what do we find mankind doing? Mm-hmm. Rebelling against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. After that particular battle, the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire, into the bottomless pit. And they're to be there for that 1,000-year period of time. It says when the 1,000 years are expired, when Satan is let loose, all nations are deceived by him. And he gathers them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. The devil, through the false prophet and through the beast, causes the world to rebel against Christ before the millennial. Then after the millennial, he himself leads them in revolt again. I'm simply saying, how far does sin abound? It extends back to the beginning of time, or at least nearly the beginning of time, and it extends all the way to the end of time. And it extends to all points in between. Under innocence, we find sin. At least at the end of innocence. When man lived under conscience, we find sin. When man lived under human government, we find sin. Before the law, under the law, and after the law, we find sin. Under the church age, does it end in success? No, it ends in failure. It ends in sin and apostasy. Under the kingdom, Surely that would be a time period that ends different than all the other dispensations, but instead we find it ending in sin, rebellion, and revolt. In all points and at all times, sin abounds. It stretches across all ages. Young people sin, babies, junior age children, youth. We love youth. We love babies. We love young people. They're just young sinners. Mm-hmm. Selfish. Full of pride. Arrogance. But these things don't seem to be diminished in our lives as we grow in experience. Age can also be a wonderful thing. But we find amongst the aged, there's also sin. And no one in between is exempt either. Mankind, when he's in his 20s, sins. When he's in his 30s, he sins. When he's in his 40s and 50s and 60s, and no matter how long he lives, we find that sin always abounds. It extends across all genders. Male and female. Men are proud and bossy and inconsiderate and fleshly and impatient. Women are rebellious and sensual and manipulative and gossiping and nagging. And even if you wouldn't put yourself, or some might not put themselves in either one of those categories, the transgenders are sinners just because they're transgenders.
Yes, sir.
You look at some people and you can't figure out whether they're a man or a woman. Makes no difference, they're still a sinner. Sin abounds. It extends across all races. There are white racists and there are black racists. Sin knows no boundaries there. It extends across all nations, communist nations and capitalistic nations. In China, there is prostitution, there is drugs. There's a lack of prayer and a neglect of God. But in America, there is the same.
Yep.
In Russia and in the UK, in France and in Poland, in Israel and in Saudi Arabia, sin abounds. The sinful activities we find in the free West are the sins that we find in the not-so-free Middle East. Sin extends across all social statuses, whether it be the ghetto or Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
In Harlem and on Wall Street, there is greed. In the Bronx and on Sunset Boulevard, there is no fear of God. In New York City, the East Coast, all the way to Los Angeles on the West Coast, sin abounds. Sin abounds from Chicago to Bourbon Street. Sin abounds in the Great Plains and in the Midwest. It abounds, yes, in the South and even all across the Bible Belt. Sin abounds.
Right.
It extends across all political persuasions. Democrats, liberals, Republicans, conservatives. They're both guilty of bribery, extortion.
Right.
Greed, illicit affairs, and lies. The independents are guilty too. The libertarians are guilty as well. Sin abounds. It extends across the whole human race. Red, brown, yellow, black and white, short and tall, fat and skinny, intelligent and ignorant. Sin abounds. Sin doesn't just abound in the human race alone, but it extends across at least part of the angelic beings.
Sure.
Sin extends to our actions, what we do, including adultery, fornication, sodomy, uncleanness, lasciviousness, murder, drunkenness, revelings. It extends to our attitudes, what we feel, hatred, wrath, envy, strife. It extends to our thoughts when we lust, when we covet. Sin abounds. Romans 3:23 says we are all sinners. Romans 7:12-13 says we are exceeding sinful.
Right.
Romans 1 and Romans 2 both mention the fact that there is none with an excuse. All are guilty before God. He gave His law for the purpose that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before Him. Sin abounds. It extends from time to time, the end of time, back to the beginning of time. It extends to male and female, young and old, white and black, nation to nation, from the west to the east, from pole to pole. Sin abounds. I have a particular history book, spiritual history book. If you were to open up that book and to begin to read the first few pages, there's enough there almost to make you sick with the type of sin that is so rampant across the world. We need not travel too far to find sinful acts by sinful people. Sin abounds. But our text says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Sin is the transgression of the law. But even before the law was given, there was a law written on man's hearts telling him when he did something wrong that it was wrong. And God gave the law, though. Why? So that sin may abound. It says in verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. God gave the law, folks, don't forget, for this purpose, that sin might abound, that it might become exceeding sinful, that the weight of our sin would come crashing down upon our shoulders. But don't fear. Because no matter how far sin extends, no matter how far north, no matter how far south, no matter how far east to west sin travels, no matter how prevalent it is in our society and in our world, as much as sin abounds, the Bible says grace abounds more.
Amen. Amen.
It's impossible for me to take the amount of time that would be necessary to impress upon our hearts how utterly sinful this world is. But if we could grasp that scriptural truth, then that next phrase would mean all the more to us. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'm saying God's grace is sufficient to cover all that sin. His goodness, His mercy, and His forgiveness can cover, can forgive all the sins of the world. Grace. What is grace? It's God's unmerited favor.
Amen.
Grace is God looking down from heaven and smiling upon us, doing good towards us, even though we don't deserve it.
Amen. That's right.
For by grace, the Bible says, are ye saved? Through faith. Not of works. Grace is the opposite of works. It's God showing and bestowing His favor upon you for no reason whatsoever other than you believed what He had to say about His Son, Jesus Christ. Does sin abound? Absolutely. But grace is much more bountiful than sin. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. One man's offense sent the human race spiraling downward into sin and decay.
Right.
Just one act of rebellion. Just one act of disobedience. But to summarize, the purpose and the point of the verses that we read tonight is that just like one man's act, one man's actions sent the world into a spiral towards decay and sin, one man's act, the second Adam, being Jesus Christ, his one act of redemption on the cross of Calvary has the potential to turn all that around.
Amen.
Because we can gain victory over our sin.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Through our faith in the person of Jesus Christ. For in Adam, all die. That includes you. Verse 12, what did it say? And so death passed upon all men, so that all have sinned. All of us. Just like Adam. And the consequence for our sin is death. But it says, in Christ, we can be made alive. Are you in Christ Jesus? Have you put your faith and trust in Him? If you have, you should praise the Lord for His abundant grace. Abundant grace. Sin is a terrible and wicked and an awful thing, and God wants us to understand that. But He wants us to understand that there's something much more bountiful than sin. And it's His grace. It's His goodness.
Amen.
And if you're saved and you're born again, it's because of God's goodness. And He took all your sins and He cast them into the depths of the sea.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He remembers them no more.
That's right.
Why? Simply because you have appropriated the work of Jesus Christ to your life. If you're not saved, young people, you hear me. If you're not saved, you get saved.
Right.
You're a sinner just like everyone else in the world. And you need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ as much as the drunkard in the gutter, as much as the adulterer in Washington, as much as the greedy man on Wall Street. You need God's salvation just as much as each of those men. So if you're not saved, you need to trust Christ as your Savior tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for the wonderful truths that we can learn from it. Lord, I just want to emphasize one simple thing tonight, and that is, while sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And Lord, there is no one outside of Your reach. There's no one whom You cannot forgive. And Lord, I pray that You'd lead us across the paths of those who might think that they're just too far gone to be saved and to be birthed into Thy family, that we might share with them this verse found here in Romans chapter 5 and demonstrate to them that no matter how far their sin extends, no matter what they've done, Your grace is sufficient to save them. Impress this truth upon our hearts and minds tonight. May we be able to use it in our witness to others. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies, you can stand here for prayer.